You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I got a bit of a serve yesterday on the text messengers for being so politically biased and you know, going on about it all the time. But I mean, have you been alive for the last 9 years? Exactly.
The Wire.
Just need to remind everyone that you're listening to The Wire on 95BFM. Now, a haka by the school Ngā Tapuwai went viral on Facebook at the end of last year, and I came across it recently. The meaning behind it and the lyrics were a challenge from the students about the way South Auckland is portrayed in popular discourse and in the media. Haumuera Kōtuku Maika works at Te Kura Māori o Ngā Tapuwai, the high school in Māngere East.
Kia ora tātou, ko Haumuera Kōtuku Maika tōku ingoa, he uri au no ngā waka o Horauta, Te Arawa, no Ngāti Porou tōku māma, no Te Arawa Tūhaurangi, tōku pāpa. He kai ako reo Māori āhau i te kura Māori o ngā tapuai. Ko ai tētahi o ngā kai ako o te rōpū kapahaka o te kapa o ngā tapuai hoki. Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. It was suggested to Hamweda by some of the students to write on this issue, and together they composed the haka. Some of the lyrics translated to English say, "The vile, unrelenting talk they spout hinders the perception of where we are from. We are being advertised with slander. The media paints a distorted view. Māori as a people will not be divided." I spoke with Hamweda to find out more.
Ngā Tapuwai was started, I think, when the Ngā Tapuwai College was like around 1975. I don't want to talk too much dates because I might get a few of them wrong, but the inception of the ASB festival, that's where Ngā Tapuwai entered, and they were like one of the mainstays or one of the original schools that started the Polynesian festival off. So it started off as a Polynesian festival, and then ASB sort of came in later on and supported it. So Ngā Tapuwai has been around for, the group itself has been around since the opening of the kura. So yeah, it's been around for quite a few years there. And at that time, I think in the 70s, there was high gang activity. A lot of people have, a lot of parents had lost their jobs from freezing works, etc. So, Māori had experienced quite a decline in their wealth. So the kura was seen as like a pathway for their children to be re-immersed within the culture. And there's different kōrero around the social and political climate at that time. So Ngā Tapuwai emerged out of that during the sort of renaissance of the reo Māori, and it's those sorts of kaupapa that are similar to kura kaupapa and the emergence at that time around the 80s. So that's where our group come from. It sort of grew out of that, and those sorts of themes are still carried on to this day, but obviously they've morphed. So, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of that social political climate, there's similar issues that people are facing today. Do you think that kapahaka, not only at Ngā Tapuwai, but at other schools, is kapahaka a way of raising those issues and challenging them?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely that. That's what I see it as. Because the origination of haka itself is very political in its nature. So even pre-European times, they would haka about different issues pertaining to different iwi and contested nature of certain issues. So that's the nature of haka, and we carry that on, and it's definitely a vehicle to put it across. However, I did see I did see that it was the huckle was shared on Facebook, and generally, you know, you write a haka for the intention of it joining me hono atu ki ngā kai haka, or so the kai haka embrace it. And generally, those topics and issues are ones that are very close to their hearts. So that's why I wrote the haka with that frame of mind, and because it was political, but I never really expected it to go outside of our competitions and go past the ears of those people that were either present or may have watched it. I didn't really expect that.
What, can you tell us a bit more about the haka itself? What's it called, and what is it about? Where did the idea come from?
The haka is called Tamaki ki te tonga morikarika. So it's like the South Auckland stereotypes. It's actually sort of like the close translation is like the South Auckland like thugs or dreads. And it's purposely called that because it's a play on what's being portrayed and how we actually experience it on the ground level. So it originated through my interest through like stereotypes and media and how those influence our people here at the ground level. So a lot of people just, you know, they might say, you know, it's just up to the individual. You know, that you have the power to change. Like, and I totally agree with that. But there are some influences that obviously shape how people think and act. And the origination of the origination sort of came about with a couple of my personal experiences being Māori and from South Auckland. So there's almost, how would you say it, it's double stereotype there. Just a few, from a few experiences from our students themselves. So when I sat down, I asked a few of our boys what we would like to write about, and then that's, a lot of them came up with it. Because just recently, before I wrote the haka, one of the boys, and they shared it on Te Karere, I think it was, and he went to Kathmandu, and there was him and his friend, and they were hit up quite a few times, and then they rung the police to come and escort them out of the shop, and their mother was there. And the boy that I'm talking about is really well behaved, and he was just cut up about it. So was his mother, and I suppose you could interpret that in many ways, but a lot of that is around how people perceive not just South Aucklanders, but Māori in general and Pacific Islanders in general from South Auckland. That also came off the bat of a comment from John Banks, who sort of said, like, I was somewhere around the lines of, if we keep on giving these young male Māori Polynesians the dole, then they're going to be sitting down to plan their next robbery, and they're going to come through our windows at Epsom, and that's, you know, these are being made by political figures, and generally that was what the haka emerged out of.
It's incredibly powerful, and it's incredibly moving hearing it from students, it from those young people that are affected.
Yeah, and that was because when it comes from them, and because it's also, I relate to it because I went to school here too. It's so easy for them to just fully connect to it, and that's the passion, and that's the wairua in which I had envisaged then doing it was when I first, well, not when we first composed it. So we sat down and we composed the first verse, and then I sort of took over from the second. And then, you know, the first couple of weeks was all just about down, you know, getting all of them to understand, you know, fully the connection to their, you know, to them every day. So last year I composed, with the help of some of the students, a haka around the murder of one of the girls, one of our ex-students that used to be at our kura. And part of it, not the whole lot of it, but part of it was because of the manifestation, so to speak, of these stereotypes, and that gangster sort of mentality, and don't get me wrong, it's the person's fault, like he done it, but this boy was Maori. Actually it was you know, put out as publicized, chosen Koroheke was her name, so she was an ex-student here, and it was that was sort of the follow-on from that haka, because he was almost the true manifestation of a lot of those stereotypes, and you know, learning through their whānau and some of his whānau members, that yeah, that's where the haka that we done last year. It originated from that. So, and that was very close to the hearts of a lot of our students too, because a few of them, you know, were her relations, and a lot of them knew her. So, yeah.
Do you think that haka more generally should be, I mean, it is a place of discussion and debate and challenges. How do we put that on a more normalised level for wider New Zealand? Or do you think it shouldn't be?
I suppose that would have to come about by more people understanding it and having a willingness to know, you know, in more depth, and, you know, not just seeing it on the surface level as something that the All Blacks do. And, you know, just learning, like getting in and talking to people that actually do it, because they'll actually find that, you know, there's a lot to be taken from it, and a lot of expression, and a lot of, you know, because I've had conversations with Pākehā about it, about the nature of haka and how it's aggressive and violent, and that sort of speak is not true, because in a lot of different forms of haka, you know, we celebrate, you know, people's lives. We celebrate different occasions, you know, and as you would know, you know, being growing up and being immersed in that world, that's how it is. Yes, there's an element of aggression.
I also thought that there was an element of, like, flirtation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It can be quite cheeky.
Yeah, so there's definitely that side of it too, because there's heaps of different forms. So where I'm from, you know, down the coast as well, from Ngāti Porou, we haka, like, it is a huge mixture of cheek. And because that's how our ancestors portrayed it as well, and it was used in many different occasions like that. As I say that, I just picture my dad, you know, he was a real cheeky performer as well. So yeah, definitely seen as, in that way. And there's been a lot of different haka written that way too lately, that put messages across in that way.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.